G'day, I'm Alice Dempster. Independent gig workers make up one of Australia's largest workforces. For many, it's about generating more income in a way that suits their lifestyle. To talk about this, Bec Nyst joins us. She's the general manager for Australia and New Zealand of Uber Eats. Thanks for being here, Bec.
Thank you for having me.
Bec, as we speak, the federal government is considering workplace reforms that will impact the gig economy. To set the scene, Uber's in some ways reimagined the way that people move around cities, the way they eat and the way they get their food, but it's also created this new, different, flexible way of working.
You mentioned before the scale of the gig economy. To give you a sense of that, currently more than 150,000 people in Australia use the Uber platform to earn, and over the last year they earned more than $3.8 billion. So it's a large economic opportunity for a lot of people, and this reform process is a really important opportunity to create minimum standards and protections in the gig economy and support gig workers.
Yeah, so these are big things that affect a lot of people. Bec, as the government weighs this all up, can you talk us through the key issues that are at stake as Uber sees it? A big one seems to be about flexibility.
Yes, sure. So the feedback that we hear really consistently from drivers and delivery people is that flexibility is really what they value most in gig work. In fact, when we survey our drivers and delivery partners, 9 in 10 tell us that the flexibility is the most important feature of gig work, and that they actually wouldn't continue to earn using the Uber platform if that flexibility were to go away.
So as I understand it, Bec, it's not that Uber doesn't support reform, it's just about preserving that flexibility.
At Uber, we absolutely support reform, and we have for a long time. We think this is really important. And for this reason, late last year, we actually signed a landmark agreement with the Transport Workers Union, where together we laid out a shared set of principles for what we think this reform should include and should look like, including a minimum earning standard for gig workers, as well as other important protections and benefits.
Sometimes it's easier to understand this stuff with examples, Bec.
Yeah, so if you think about traditional employment and gig work, in many ways gig work is actually radically different from what traditional employment looks like. You think about traditional employment, it's set shifts, it's hours that are determined by your employer, and gig work is really different from that. And what we hear is that what it allows is for people to fit work in around other priorities in their life. So when I talked to one delivery partner, she told me, hey, I'm starting my own business, I'm running my own business, and this is something I sort of do on the side, ramp up, ramp down as it suits me. But, you know, that flexibility is what makes it work so well. Another is I spoke to a mum. She's fitting this in around caring for her kids. So it fits in around people's lives, and that's what why it's so important to the drivers and delivery people I talk to.
Squizzes might have heard us interview an earner on the podcast a few weeks ago that spoke to exactly that point. Bec, to finish this up, I'm hearing loud and clear from you that preserving flexibility is super important. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, flexibility, incredibly important. We want to see reform that creates safety nets for gig workers, including minimum benefits and protections, including, of course, an earning standard. And it needs to be fit for purpose and tailored to the unique needs and realities of the modern gig economy.
Thanks for speaking with us, Bec. This interview is brought to you by our podcast partner, Uber. For more, go to uber.com/gig reform.